Part 1. He's not lazy. The first part of this book corrects a common but destructive assumption that parents make about their son. He is lazy. This dangerous misconception causes parents to miss the root of their son's problems, and, because he feels blamed by them, further alienates him. Chapter 1 encourages parents to see their son in a different frame, paradigm shift. The remaining chapters take a fresh look at the cognitive and emotional transformation that defines adolescence, while detailing the implications these changes have for the teenage boy who is opting out. This section will provide parents with an understanding of their son's psychology and reframe his problem. Understanding how teens view the world and how their minds work is crucial to developing effective strategies to help motivate them. 1. Let me reintroduce you to your son. Let me reintroduce you to your son. If he is a typical underachieving teen, he complains bitterly about everything that is wrong with school. The teachers are stupid, the curriculum is irrelevant, math is just moving numbers around, and English is just moving words around. No one ever needs to know geometry, and Shakespeare is an absolute waste of time. Meanwhile, you never see him studying. He is the boy who has no homework, but his grades are slipping. Here is what you have probably done so far. When you are not sick with worry, you are nagging. Or maybe you are fighting, with him and/or with your spouse or co-parent. You've been so anxious about his future that you have pestered him constantly about homework and upcoming tests. You may have even enrolled him in a summer science class, as suggested by his college admissions counselor. Maybe you took him to see a therapist. To others, he looks like a nice kid, soft-spoken, engaging, and polite. But to you, he seems unmotivated, maybe even lazy. All of your begging, pleading, and berating have failed to light the fire of motivation under your son. If you have chosen this book, chances are the following comments and questions, posed by some of the parents who attend my lectures, will strike a chord. What options do I have left when consequences don't work? I take away his phone, the computer, and he just says, "Fine, take it away. I don't care." I don't know how to talk to my son anymore. When I try, he grunts or says, "Leave me alone." He is only motivated if he likes a teacher or if he is really interested in the subject. Otherwise, forget it. If only he worked a little harder. If only he cared a little more. If you want to get to know your child better, take out a ruler. Ask him to rate how important school is for him on a scale from 1 to 12. Then ask him to rate his social life and extracurricular activities. You'll be surprised, but he will likely score highest, at least 9 or above, on the school question, second on the social question, and last on the extracurricular question. Now use the same ruler to ask him how capable he feels of success in each of these areas. Don't be shocked if the order is reversed. In other words, things are not always what they seem. Your son actually wants to do better in school, he just does not think he is able to. His apparent laziness actually traces back to a fear of failure, otherwise known as anxiety. This type of anxiety is present in all unmotivated underachieving teens, including those with learning disabilities, those with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and those who deal with the challenge of adolescence by resorting to substance abuse or promiscuity. Whether your son's low self-esteem is the cause of his school problems, or merely secondary to any of the conditions mentioned, it's the first thing you need to address in order to help your son. But here's the thing. Where most parents fail is thinking that in order to improve their son's self-esteem, they have to shower him with praise. The truth is that praising kids with low self-esteem is just as problematic as criticizing them. Deep down, your son feels that you are measuring and evaluating his performance, which makes your love appear conditional. So in this case, positive feedback is not the way to go any more than is negative feedback. What you have to do is to stop evaluating and measuring him. And in case you haven't figured it out yet in your own life, you cannot force another person to change. That is particularly true about your teenage son. The tide is